Welcome to Deception in the Last Days with your host, Randy Shelton. Randy is a member of the Biblical Discernment and Research Center. He has been studying cults and new religious movements for over 30 years. Join Randy as he discerns the deception going on now in the last days.
I am thankful that for electronic devices and all these things that we take for granted, but I'm always wanting to make sure my sound levels are correct, and I'm not always so sure. So anyway, without further ado, I need a sound man here is what I need. Anyway, I just want to do a little review for those of you who may be joining in that weren't with us last week. I was looking at the false unity in many churches that's taking place that's really helping to lead towards the last day apostasy because, in part, Bible prophecy is being ignored. I had looked at an article called Christian Unity or Ecumenical Babel, and, you know, a type of spiritual lawlessness against God and His Word, and also looked at the impact of political and social lawlessness on compromising, pandering businesses like Chick-fil-A and the CEO over there at Don Cathy. And with that in mind, well, I'll go ahead and give my title. It's a little lengthy. It might take half the program. Just kidding. But the title tonight, Evangelical Compromise, Corporate Compromise, Future Babylonian Demise, and Anti-Semitism on the Rise. How about that? I got that thing going, you know. I'm not a rap artist, nothing like that. But anyway, I should add part one because I probably will not make it to all of the topics that are in that title. But, you know, I'll have a part two for sure. You can count on that. So, looking a little bit more at evangelical compromise, and of course that comes to mind because Chick-fil-A has always, or you know, has for years identified as a Christian business. And so I want to look at another article, and this is from June 23rd, so a lot of you probably already heard about this, but nevertheless I'd like to look at this information here and see where it takes us. Now, this is an article that was in the New York Daily News by Storm Gifford. See it. Shocking shoeshine by Chick-fil-A CEO Dan Cathy on Christian hip-hop artist Lecrae. A businessman's obtuse shoeshine has left him socially scuffed. See all those shoe references there. And I have one of my own coming. that's, you know, spoiler alert. But anyway, during a June 14th roundtable discussion about racism at Atlanta's Passion City Church involving Chick-fil-A CEO Dan Cathy, Atlanta megachurch pastor Louis Giglio, and hip-hop musician Lecrae, Cathy stunningly whipped out a brush and began to shine the singer's sneakers. "I invite folks to put some words to action here," said Cathy before approaching Lecrae. "And if we need to find somebody that needs to have their shoes shined, we need to just go right on over and shine their shoes, whether they got tennis shoes on or not. Maybe they have sandals on, but it really doesn't matter." Cathy then knelt down to shine while Lecrae, appearing stunned, just sat still. So it wasn't scripted, apparently. Among the appalled were African-American Republican congressional candidate Errol Weber, who voiced his revulsion on Twitter. "As a black man, I implore white people to stop the insanity," tweeted Weber, who is opposing incumbent Karen Bass in California's 37th Congressional District. "I don't want anyone to shine my shoes, wash my feet, or any other sanctimonious insanity. Just treat me like a person, and I'll do the same for you." The Cathy family, which owns Chick-fil-A, is well known for embracing Christian ideals, including closing its doors on Sundays in opposition to same-sex marriage. But even some conservatives, notably Todd Starnes, were outraged by Cathy's actions. "I love Chick-fil-A, and I defended them through some very difficult days," wrote the columnist. And cultural jihad, how to stop the left from killing a nation, author, in a June 19th Twitter post. "But I cannot, in good conscience, continue to do business with a company that thinks I'm a racist because of my skin color. God doesn't make mistakes. Farewell, Chick-fil-A." And, you know, of course, I have my own little comment, and that would be, it sounds like Don Cathy has stuck his sneaker in his mouth. And, you know, maybe he should try eating more chicken instead of becoming one. you know, that is their tagline, eat more chicken. Or is it eat more beef? I can't remember exactly how that goes. It's the cow that's telling you to eat more chicken, I believe. And if you're familiar with their little advertising campaign. So, yeah, instead of all this pandering and all. But I'll be looking a little bit more at the pandering that's taking place in our culture by big businesses and of ultimately where that's going to lead down the road as we see Babylon the Great falling and being destroyed. We'll touch on a little bit of that in the book of Revelation. But now, some more comments I would like to make concerning Louis Giglio, since he had a big part, obviously, in hosting this little event. His Passion Movement events have included various heretical and compromised Christian leaders over the years, including Beth Moore, Francis Chan, and John Piper, publicly practicing Catholic mysticism in front of the impressionable, discernment-lacking youth. Also, Christine Kane, mentored by Word Faith heretic Joyce Myers. Those are my comments. But now for a little bit further emphasis here, I want to look at an article from Charlotte Reformation, which is a Reformed site, Reformed theology site, and I'm not Reformed in my theology, but I believe this site is very good for discerning many of the errors that are out there within the church, within professing Christianity at this time. And the title of this article is Popular Passion Conference Promoting Little God Theology. It's well known that the Popular Passion Conferences every year hosts some highly questionable at best speakers. Among them have been the prosperity pimptress from Hillsong, Christine Kane, Matt Chandler of the Village Church, Hillsong LA pastor Chad Veach, popular Bible twister Beth Moore, open but cautious charismatic Bible teacher John Piper, and also, of course, Louis Giglio of Passion City Church. A popular heresy among charismatic false teachers is little God theology, or the belief that we as humans carry within us the potential to become God or divine-like gods. This is not only a heresy found among charismatics, however, it is the underlying teaching of Mormonism, absolutely, that our future as believers are to partake in the divinity of God and become gods ourselves. Now, I wasn't really aware of this. He says the Roman Catholic Church also teaches this, as it states in the Catechism of the Catholic Church, the only begotten Son of God, wanting to make us sharers in his divinity, assumed our nature so that he, made man, might make men gods. And I won't quote the reference to that. You can find that in that article that I mentioned here in the Charlotte Reformation. So it should come as no surprise, then, that since these passion conferences are stacked with charismatics and word faith preachers, they'd be pushing this unbiblical teaching, as seen below in one of their latest tweets, quoting Louis Giglio. And it says, there's divinity in your DNA, there's heaven inside of you. At Louis Giglio at Passion 2019. This teaching is patently false. There is no divinity in our DNA, and there is no heaven inside of us. But again, it's not surprising that these people believe this other gospel. What's surprising is that this event has been propped up for so long by people who would be considered by many to be modern heroes of the faith, like John Piper. You know, and I would just say that also you find much social gospel or social justice, whatever they're calling it these days, is also becoming a big part of what many of these people are all about. And so, you know, if you allow the camel to get his nose into the tent, guess what? You end up with the camel in your tent. You know, at least that's the old expression. I don't know if that's like trying to boil a frog in water. You know, it's better to put him in the cold water and turn the heat up, of course. But anyway, I think that would suffice. That expression seems to me to fit pretty good. That, you know, that camel, he's going to eventually get all the way inside your tent, and it's going to have a lot of influence over your tent. So this is some of the problems that are taking place, of course. And so there's that connection with this compromising of Dan Cathy and his involvement with Louis Giglio's get-together here. You know, pray for these people, of course. I guess I should assume that people pray for those that are going down a wrong path. But we need to always be reminded because the deception is so thick and so great in these last days that it's hard to keep up. And we react against the error and the deception and the concern for those being deceived. And sometimes, you know, we forget just to pray for these people, because sometimes people will get their heads screwed on right again. Now, this is kind of a connection to me into so much of the pandering to certain segments of our society. And anyway, I'll just mention that this article here is from Discern. It's from the Discern site by Adam Ford. This is June 20th, also a short time back. Video surfaces of Black Lives Matter founders saying, "We are trained Marxist." Now, I'm sure some of my sharper listeners are also probably aware of this little discovery that has come out. But for those who may not be aware, I want to share this, and it kind of fits together with what I'm wanting to do today. A 2015 video clip has surfaced on an interview with Black Lives Matter founder Patrice Cullors, in which she assures her interviewer that the group has an underlying ideology saying, "We're trained Marxists." Responding to the interviewer's concern that the Black Lives Matter movement, and otherwise known as BLM from here on out, might not have enough of a clear ideological structure, Cullors responded by saying that she and another co-founder in particular are dedicated to the ideology of communist leader Karl Marx. Oh, that's nice. "We actually do have an ideological frame. Myself and Alicia in particular were trained organizers. We are trained Marxists. We are super versed on ideological theories." Alicia, whom Culver's mentioned, is Alicia Garza. Garza, Cullors, and a third woman, Opal Tometi, formed Black Lives Matters together. Many opponents of BLM have been calling the group Marxist or neo-Marxist or cultural Marxist since it came to prominence due to its heavy focus on group identity and class conflict. Their website, BLM's website, lists many far-left ideals in its list of core beliefs, including, "We are self-reflexive and do the work required to dismantle cisgender privilege and uplift black trans folk," talking about transgendered, of course, "especially black trans women who continue to be disproportionately impacted by trans antagonistic violence." And I'm not going to quote all these things from their website, just a few. "We practice empathy. We engage comrades." Well, that's a nice Marxist term, isn't it? "We engage comrades with the intent to learn about and connect with their contexts. We make our spaces family-friendly." "We disrupt the Western prescribed nuclear family structure requirement by supporting," and let me just insert, actually, "the God in His Word prescribed family structures," how I would like to term it, "by supporting each other's as extended families and villages." Remember that term, villages? "It takes a village," Hillary Clinton wrote. You know, got a little socialism, Marxism. It's all the rage these days. Extended families and villages that collectively care for one another, especially our children, to the degree that mothers, parents, and children are comfortable. "We foster a queer affirming network. When we gather, we do so with the intention of freeing ourselves from the tight grip of heteronormative thinking, or rather the belief that all in the world are heterosexual unless he or she or they disclose otherwise." And I would just say that heteronormative thinking, you can read a lot about that in a book called The Bible. And you can read about in Romans chapter 1, the resistance of those who suppress the truth and unrighteously, because that is the truth. Heteronormative thinking is God's thinking on the matter. So, you know, you don't want to get that Sodom and Gomorrah thing working any further than it is, but I'm afraid we're going down that road, and it's hard to get the camel back out of the tent. Now, I remember a few years ago, and I mentioned this in another podcast, that I went to an event that was sponsored by another Marxist, the Jim Wallace and His Sojourner organization, in a nearby suburb. And the other Marxist group, or, you know, the one that we're talking about here, BLM, was also doing seminars there hand in hand with this far-left fake Christian group from Sojourners. I went for research purposes, and I was not surprised by what I saw. There was a black lady actually from Sojourners was the keynote speaker, and she, of course, was misinterpreting Matthew 25 as also social justice, social gospel heretics do. And, of course, much has been documented about Jim Wallis and Sojourners and fake liberal Christianity. I've documented much. I've done much study concerning that this move of liberalism. But if you'd like to get more content, of course, Lighthouse Trails, you could go to their site and look in their Jim Wallis archives. You could go to the Christian Research Network and go to their Jim Wallis archives. And, of course, Pulpit and Pen has written a lot about Jim Wallis as well. Now, when I think about Black Lives Matters and the things that are taking place in our culture and in our society and now even worldwide, you can't help, of course, to notice that big business, including, of course, the major sports leagues, the NFL, the NBA, the Major League Baseball, they're endorsing this madness in the worship of the almighty dollar. I mean, that's the bottom line where we're going here. And, of course, I could name lots of other big businesses that are all on board with this. Now, you remember the old saying, it's all going to burn? Well, I want to take a minute and we want to look at the day when it all burns. And I want to look at the Word for Today study Bible in Revelation chapter 18. And we're going to look at some of this. Let me read from Revelation 18. The fall of Babylon the Great. And another angel cried mightily with a loud voice, saying, Babylon the Great is fallen, and has become a dwelling place of demons, a prison for every foul spirit, and a cage for every unclean and hated bird. For all the nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. The kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth have become rich through the abundance of her luxury. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, lest you share in her sins, and lest you receive of her plagues. For her sins I have reached to heaven, and God has remembered her iniquities. Render to her just as she rendered to you, and repay her double according to her works. In the cup which she has mixed, mix double for her. In the measure she has glorified, that she glorified herself and lived luxuriously, in the same measure give her torment and sorrow. For she says in her heart, I sit as queen, and am no widow, and will not see sorrow. Therefore her plagues will come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she will be utterly burned with fire. For strong is the Lord God who judges her. Now, I want to look at some comments that Chuck Smith made here in his study Bible. It's the economy. In the previous chapter, in chapter 17, we watched as God destroyed the religious establishment. And he was talking about Mystery Babylon, the great harlot. In this chapter, we read of his destruction of the economic establishment. Today, commercial interests control the world. They are the power brokers. They put politicians into office, and they sit on top of the world in the lap of luxury, thinking they will never pay for all the years of using people to pad their own nests, using the poor people of the world as pawns in their chess game. But God will destroy them in a day. We often say about material things, it's all going to burn someday. Well, this will be the day when it all burns. Now, I want to move to verse 9, read a couple more verses here. The kings of the earth who committed fornication and lived luxuriously with her will weep and lament for her when they see the smoke of her burning, standing at a distance for fear of her torment, saying, alas, alas, that great city Babylon, that mighty city, for in one hour your judgment has come. And now moving to verse 14, the fruit that your soul longed for has gone from you, and all the things which are rich and splendid have gone from you, and you shall find them no more at all. Chuck Smith's comments on this, where did it all go? What happened to all the gold and the silver and all the other luxurious items? The fruit that your soul longed for has gone from you, and all the things which are rich and splendid have gone from you, and you shall find them no more at all. The world economic machine is in the business of causing us to long for things But someday, all those things will fail us. And previously, I had verse 10, for in 1 hour your judgment has come. And then we look at verse 17, for in 1 hour such great riches come to nothing. And then in verse 19, for in 1 hour she is made desolate. All right, now I want to read one final section from this chapter, Revelation 18, verse 21. Then a mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone and threw it into the sea, saying, thus, with violence the great city Babylon shall be thrown down and shall not be found any more. And moving to verse 23, the light of a lamp shall not shine in you any more, and the voice of bridegroom and bride shall not be heard in you any more. For your merchants were the great men of the earth, for by your sorcery all the nations were deceived, and in her was found the blood of prophets and saints and of all who were slain on the earth. And Chuck Smith says, out of business. God will wipe out the whole economic system as we know it. Those who deceive the nations with their sorcery will be put out of business for good. And then last comment, commercialism will be gone in the glorious kingdom of God. There will be an abundance of everyone, and no one will be enslaved to debt. So, you know, there's a payday coming, so to speak, and that payday is going to be costly for Mystery Babylon, not Mystery Babylon, but the economic Babylon that really this world system is happy to be a part of and is happy to join hands with, you know, evil movements, as we see. So anyway, just wanted to give you a little view of the future that's coming. And now we want to move to, you know, this was the last part of my title, the demise or the anti-Semitism on the rise. So I want to look at this and see if we can get through these two articles or three. Black BLM and Palestine, a match made in hell. And this is from Israel Unwired by Dovid Mark. BLM has now taken its movement to the Middle East. No, they're not trying to overthrow King Hussein, who rules over a country with an 80% Palestinian population, subjugating them to an apartheid-like manner, nor are they threatening to topple the neo-sultanate of President Erdogan in Turkey, the man who regularly makes a point of attacking ethnic Kurds and threatening to wipe them out. No, BLM leaders find themselves in solidarity with Palestine and in direct opposition to Israel. In our upside-down world of moral relativism, revisionist history, and ignorant intersexuality, BLM and Palestine are a match made in hell. Let's face it, it had to happen sooner or later. BLM is about uprooting a traditional understanding of the world, and with it sowing global chaos. The idea that BLM is really about black lives is just a cover for the extremist Marxist theology its followers ardently believe in. In the above interview, Patrice Cullors, founder of BLM, declares openly that she sees a similarity between the struggle of the Palestinian Arabs and that of the black people in America. She described her trip to Israel as a moment of clarity and also a moment of fear of what kind of backlash we were going to receive, which we did. BLM has only strengthened its partnership with the Palestinian Arabs. This is despite the fact that Martin Luther King Jr. was a known supporter of Jewish rights in the land of Israel, as well as the fact that many Palestinian Arabs support the destruction of Israel as a Jewish homeland. All of this calls into question the true motives behind the leadership of BLM. It appears that the partnership they have forged with Palestine and its false narrative has allowed to the legitimate grievances of black America to be hijacked by another's political agenda. With more and more Americans throwing their support behind BLM, or at least doing so because they're afraid of saying otherwise, you know, sort of like the Emperor's New Clothing, if you remember that story. Everybody knew the Emperor was naked except for the Emperor. One wonders what would stop the movement from turning against those supporters of Israel back in the USA. After all, if the Black America and Palestinian narratives are parallel, then those Jews and their allies in America that support Israel would have to be held accountable as racist, according to BLM's Outlook. From the website Tablet, this article goes on to say, Tablet pointed out the following in a 2016 article on BLM's use of genocide when describing Israel's occupation of Judea and Samaria. The article is, from left to right, Jewish groups condemn repellent BLM claim of Israel genocide. The implications of these figures is unmistakable. Falsely accusing the state founded by Jews in the ashes of their own genocide of committing genocide is, simply put, a blood libel on a national scale. It is a slur against the 6 million Jews in Israel and the vast majority of world Jewry that supports them. That Black Lives Matter would indulge in such ignorant and incendiary claims undermines its standing as an anti-racist organization. This is why BLM is not a movement for black rights or even liberation, but rather it is a revolutionary movement that seeks to uproot and wipe out the biblical values that have served as the underpinnings of the positive aspects of Western society. BLM leadership will not stop at the toppling of some statues, but will turn their attention to the easiest target of all, the Jews. Now, I see my time is coming to an end, so I won't be jumping into this next anti-Semitic group, but just to give you a little heads up for my next podcast, we're going to look at the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, the ECLA, as they go after Israel, and that's something that we will be looking at as we continue to see anti-Semitism on the rise. Again, we've looked at evangelical compromise with Chick-fil-A, corporate compromise on a huge scale, and future Babylonian demise, which seems to be getting closer and closer. And then, of course, the anti-Semitism on the rise, and that which we know will come when the Antichrist does show up. He will deceive the Jewish people for a time and will persecute them severely, which is very sad, but it is an inconvenient truth. But we know that God is in control of all that's taking place in this world and that he has the plan. So thank you for joining me tonight. Please join with me next week. God bless. Good night.